Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. We're going to be in the book of Romans, chapter 7. We ended with verse 14 last week, and so that's basically where we'll start tonight. You remember Paul was talking about the law, and we ended last week in our study in verse 14, where he said, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." And so he said, the law is holy, the law is good. And he implies the question, if it is spiritual, if it is good, if it is holy, why can't the law bring about holiness? Why can't the law bring about holiness in our life? And he answered the question in the end of that verse because he says, I'm carnal. I'm sold under sin. And tonight we're in the last part of chapter 7, verses 15 through 25, probably a part of the Bible that most, if not all, Christians can identify with. Because Paul has sort of given his personal testimony, but he's talking about what goes on in the life of every believer. He says, I'm being constantly pulled. I'm being constantly pulled by the old man, the flesh, however you want to say it, that my sin nature that I still have, to do wrong, to step outside of the straight and narrow way. And then I'm being pulled by the new man, the Holy Spirit, my new nature that I got when I got saved. And there's a constant struggle going on between right and wrong, between good and evil. And it seems like I'm right in the middle, and one's pulling on my right hand, one's pulling on my left hand. It's like, you know, and I've told you the story before about the old Indian that was trying to describe this struggle that was going on in his life as a Christian. He says, it's like two dogs fighting, a black dog and a white dog, and they're constantly fighting as to see who's going to have dominion in my life. And somebody asked him, well, which one of those dogs win? He says, well, the one I feed. And so again, Paul's saying, he said, look, this is not hypothetical. I'm talking about this happens to me. This is happening in my life. And he's going to say, I know to do right, I know to obey the law. But he says, in myself, I can't do it. I don't have the power in myself, of myself, to do it. And so the rest of chapter 7, beginning in verse 15, Paul talks about this conflict. He talks about this struggle that goes on in his life. And he does it in sort of three stages. The first stage was verse 14 when he said, we know the law is spiritual. The law is good. The law is holy. The second stage we'll read when we get down to verse 18, where he says, I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. In my flesh, there's nothing good. And then in verse 21, he says, I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present. And so he talks about those three things. He gives, again, he's not talking hypothetically. He's talking about what's happening in his life. And by the way, if it happens in the life of the Apostle Paul, I mean, if the Apostle Paul had this struggle, now this is the one that God used to write over half the most of the New Testament, majority of the New Testament, 13 books, some people think 14 if you count the book of Hebrews. This was a preacher. This was a teacher. This was a great. I mean, if he had lived earlier, he would have been included in Hebrews chapter 11 as somebody that was a hero of faith. And if the Apostle Paul had this struggle going on in his life, it's probably true to say that it goes on in every one of our lives. And the conclusion that he comes to, he asks a question in verse 24. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this struggle? And the answer that he gives in verse 25 ought to be an encouragement to every Christian. So let's look at it tonight. We'll start verse 15 through 17. I'll just read them in sort of triplets to help us get through it and get through it in the time that we have left. Verse 15, Romans chapter 7, for that which I do allow not, for that which I do allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Here's what Paul is saying. He says, I know what's right. I know what's wrong. I want to do right. But he says, sometimes I don't. I don't want to do wrong. But sometimes I do wrong. And Paul would say, I do it in my actions. I do it in the words that I say. I do it in the attitudes that I have. I do it in the way I think sometime. And he says in verse, and so he says, there's a struggle. I know what to do. I know what I should do, but I don't. And he says in verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And Paul was not trying to shirk his responsibility. He was not trying to say that he wasn't responsible for it. He knows he's responsible. He knows he's accountable for the sin that he allows to come into his life. But what he's saying and what he's emphasizing is that there are two wills operating in my life. There's the fleshly, sinful nature will, and then there's the spiritual will. And they are in conflict, and they pull us in different directions. And again, which one wins? The one I side with. Whereas the Indian says, the one that I feed. See, it's not a knowledge problem. And for Christians that stay in sin, it's not a knowledge problem. The Holy Spirit. I mean, I guess a Christian could get into a sin, and I don't think this is the usual case. I mean, I guess it could happen that a Christian could get into something that they don't consider or know that it's a sin, but I don't think they'd stay there very long without the Holy Spirit coming after them. I don't think they'd stay there very long without the Holy Spirit sending somebody into their life and saying, hey, you know, what you're doing is wrong. And here's why it's wrong. So it's not a knowledge problem. It's not that we don't know what's right, that we don't know what's wrong. It's a yielding problem. The flesh doesn't control us. We've been set free from the bondage of sin. John would write, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater, the Holy Spirit is more powerful than anything that Satan can throw at us, including our old nature. And which one we yield to, that's the one that gets his way, whether it's right or wrong, or good or evil. All right, look at verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So again, here's Paul says, hey, I know that in myself, of myself, there is nothing good. I have a will. I have a desire to do good. I want to do good, but he says, how to do it? I find not. And he says, there are times I want to do good, but I don't know how to do good. See, sin still influences a Christian's life. Sin still impacts the way a Christian thinks. Sin still impacts the way a Christian talks. Sin still impacts the way a Christian acts. And by themselves, by ourselves, we do not have the power to walk away from that sin. By our own power, we do not have what it needs. We do not have what we need to defeat it. And Paul says, and again, you know, we talked about chapter 6, and we're going to review it at the end when we get to it. He talked about in chapter 6 how what a Christian needs to do to defeat sin in his life. Here in chapter 7, he's dealing with reality and said, I told you how to do it, but this is how oftentimes we end up. Because his struggle still goes on. And oftentimes we want to do right, we know what's right, but we let our old sinful nature get its way. And I know, I've talked to people, and I've wondered this myself sometimes. We say, well, God knows this struggle's going on. God knows we want to do right. Why don't, when we get saved, he just take away? Why doesn't he just take away the sinful nature? Why doesn't he just take away that old nature that we were born with? Why does he leave it there so that we have to fight? If he just took it away, we could all stay in the, you know, we could all do right. We know what's right to do, and we could just all do it, and it wouldn't be a problem. Why doesn't he just do that? It would make our lives a lot easier. Well, God doesn't want robots. He doesn't want, I mean, he's given us a free will. And in order to have a free will, you have to have choice. And so he gave us that old nature when we were born. He gives us that new nature when we were born again. He wants us to go through the struggle because he knows that it's only going through the struggle that we will grow, that we will mature, that we will get stronger as a Christian. If we never had to fight the old man, if we never had to fight the temptations and the wicked desires that he puts in our minds, we wouldn't be much of a Christian. It's only knowing that we can't do it on ourselves and knowing that we have to claim the power of the Holy Spirit to help us defeat it that we get stronger. And God knows that all our struggles are not going to come from the inside. Some of the struggles are going to come from the outside that are not, is not ourselves fighting each other. And the only way we're going to have the strength and the ability, again, not our ability, but the ability the Holy Spirit gives us, the only way we're going to have the strength and the ability to fight those things that come from the outside is to fight the inside battle and win and know that the Holy Spirit is able. And so, yeah, he could take it away, but that's not his plan. He doesn't want to take it away. He'd have a bunch of weaklings as Christians. It's in the struggle and in the choices that we make that we grow stronger. Now, in verse 20, Paul says the same thing he said in verse 17. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Again, he's not shunning his responsibility. He knows he's going to be held accountable. But he says, it's the sin nature that still resides in me that I yield to that causes me to do wrong and not do right. Now, look at verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So Paul says, my desire, and it ought to be the desire of every believer, the desire of every Christian, is to love, delight in, and obey the law of God. When I try to do that, though, I'm opposed. The law of sin is in my members. And when he's talking about his members, he's talking about his body, his hands, his feet, his tongue, his ears. And that law of sin still operates. And as long as believers are still alive, as long as Christians are still alive, now, we know that when we leave this earth, that when this human life is over, and we go into the presence of God, that old nature ain't going. That old nature is going to stay. It's going to be gone. And we'll go into the presence of God free from the presence of sin. When we got saved, we were saved from the penalty of sin. And when we yield to the Holy Spirit, we are saved from the power of sin. And when we go into his presence, we're going to be saved from the presence of sin. But until that point, we're going to have the struggle. The two wills, the two natures are going to fight. And if a Christian, listen, if a Christian tries to win that battle on their own, if they try to do it with their wisdom, with their strength, I guarantee you they're always going to be defeated. They may win a battle every now and then, but they're going to lose. They'll lose, and they'll get frustrated. Anytime we try to rid ourselves of this enemy on our own, we will get frustrated because we cannot do it on our own. So Paul comes down in verse 24 and says, and he sort of throws up his hands. Sort of says, "What's the use? Oh, wretched man that I am." He says, I've tried to do it on my own. I've tried to do right. I've tried to avoid doing wrong. But I can't win. I cannot do it. And that phrase, "oh, wretched man," is an expression that was used in Paul's day in Greek drama, in the theater in Greece, that talked about a tragic misfortune or woe that marked a person's life. And so Paul's saying, I'm a wretched man. I mean, there's nothing good in me, and I am frustrated, and I live in agony, and I'm helpless. I can't rid myself of this bent towards sinning. As much as I know to do and my desire to do, I just can't always do it. He says, that last part, who shall deliver me from this the body of this death? And when he's talking about the body of death, he's not talking about the physical body. He's not, because sin goes deeper than the physical body. He's talking about the nature that we got when we were born, the human nature, the sinful nature that we inherited from Adam. And it hangs in our life, and it never goes away. It always, that nature is the nature that reminds us of our guilt. That nature is the nature that reminds us of, why do you think you're worthy of God's love? And Paul asked the question, who shall deliver me? What he was saying is, I can't deliver myself. It's not going to come from in here. It's not going to come from up here. It's not going to come from my own strength. If I am going to be delivered from this struggle, if I'm going to win this battle, if I'm going to do what I know to do, what I want to do, if I'm going to do it, then my help has to come from outside. My help has to come from somebody else. And so he answers his own question in verse 25. I thank, who's going to deliver me? I'm a wretched man. Who's going to deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul says, I know I can't do it. I can't do it on my own. But through Jesus Christ, I can live that sanctified life that God wants me to live. I want to serve the law of God. But when it comes to my flesh, I cannot do it. But Jesus can change all that. Jesus can give me what I need through the Holy Spirit to change that. And again, what Paul's talking about in this chapter is not hypothetical. It happens. He said it happened. Paul said it happens to me. And most of us tonight, if we were honest, we could stand and testify, yeah, it happens to me too. There are times in my life I know what to do, what's right. I know I should do it. I have a desire to do it, but I don't. And there are times in my life I know, and again, it may not be an action. It may be an attitude. Maybe a word. Maybe the way we think. We know what's right, and we know what's wrong. And yet we don't do what's right, and we don't do what's wrong. Now, again, it doesn't have to be that way. Paul's already told us how to avoid it in chapter 6. Sort of chapter 6 is sort of saying, hey, this is the way you need to do it. Chapter 7, don't do it this way, because you're going to be in agony. You're going to live in agony. You're going to live a defeated Christian life if you try to fight this struggle on your own. So again, just quickly as we close tonight, as Paul said, and let me remind, and again, it's not here in chapter 7, but let me remind you what he said in chapter 6. You got to know what Jesus Christ did for you when he justified you. You got to know that. You got to know that he made you just as if you've never sinned. You got to know that when you stand before God, he does not see any of your sin. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you got to know that when you stand before God, if you're saved, and that's the only way you get justification. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. The only way you get, it's a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And God gives it to us when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. He justifies us. You stand before God just as if you've never sinned. Then you got to daily reckon that we died with him to sin when he died on Calvary. We died with him. You got to reckon. Again, that's not a hillbilly term. That's a Bible term, which means I count it so. Daily, I count it so that I have died to the pull that sin has on me. Daily, I count it so that it has no more dominion over me. Daily, I count it so that it has no more power over me. And then number three, we yield. We yield completely to the Spirit of God. We yield completely to the will of God. We yield completely to what he wants us to do. And again, know, reckon, yield. Paul says that's the way to do it. You don't. This struggle is within every person. It's within every person, but it doesn't have to be that way. I've told you how to live. Know, reckon, yield. Now again, there's Christians that fight to fight, but they're pretty miserable because they don't win. They don't win. And they get to a point in their life where they're like the Apostle Paul. My life is wretched. I'm not doing anything for God because I'm still fighting something that God doesn't want us to fight. He said, look, the battle's already been fought. The victory's already been won. Claim it. Claim it. Claim it. All right, we're out of time. Thank you for being here tonight. We'll start in chapter 8, Lord willing. Next week, let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.